I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your bodies, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble, all handball madness and a Jamie Vardy hat-trick. It's Monday, 28th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hamdaraja.
The game has gone, but we're here to bring it back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what a happy Monday.
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't
we
it?
We needed it, Jim.
Yeah, we did. Everyone's furious with football at the moment, aren't they? So let's do what we can to get it back on track, as you say.
When they say it's gone, Vish, where does it go?
I don't know, but all I want to say is keep our hands to ourselves, football. Stop trying to mess with our hands.
Yeah. Hands are weird. Yeah. Give you that. Anyone who's looked at their hands for any significant amount of time while hungover will have concluded, oh God, hands are gross and they're really weird. But they're not going anywhere, are they?
But they're trying to use our hands against us.
Exactly.
Is that like one of those really bad films where we get murderers' hands and then it commits crimes on our behalf, not on our behalf, but on behalf of the previous hand owner. This is what football's becoming. We're kind of Stephen King bullshit.
Yeah. It is.
To be fair, I didn't think there could be a new take on this this current climate, but Vish, you've managed to do it with some aplomb, I would suggest. So the game has gone. Everybody's tweeting that from former players to current players.
Andros Townsend, your boo?
Yes, even he's got involved. But, I mean, he is influenced, as I think we all are, and if we're not, we should be, by Roy Hodgson, of course. Yeah. But let's talk about
that. I hope he was influenced by Roy Hodgson.
Under the influence of Roy Hodgson.
Let's talk about that in a bit, gentlemen, because let's talk about some genuine football. It wasn't football, according to Pep Guardiola, but for everybody else it was, because Leicester City hammered Manchester City 5-2. Was this a gubbing? I'd say it was.
It's because it's two. Yeah, I think it's a gubbin.
5-2 is very in vogue at the moment. Am I right? Or is it Everton, certainly?
Yeah, that's true.
That. Leicester
very
City
true.
Channeling the...
I mean, I would argue that all of Leicester's five goals, they used a football for, didn't they?
I think
every single one involved a football. So I would argue that that was football. I don't know, but maybe I'm a late. Maybe I'm just not looking at it through Pep vision.
I was trying to think of any goal that didn't use a football, and then I thought about that Darren Bent beach ball goal.
Yeah, that was true.
Yeah, so you're right to point that out. Not every single goal uses the football, but yeah, I mean, I just found it funny that Pep Guardiola, who was quite relaxed after the game.
No, he wasn't.
No, but for him, but he did have to say, well, they do not want to play the bald fraud, eh, Jim?
Yeah.
But then I also loved Brendan Rodgers on the BBC. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, you see they were the way they played against Wolves, so you know they're up to speed. He was straight in there. They're decent. Don't be fooled by that. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
We thrashed a really good side today.
Yeah, but he's right.
Yeah.
Brother Brendan is right, Vish.
What a demolition job.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, so what? They had more shots on target.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't play, though. Carry on.
I think they won more duels as well.
Again, so didn't play. That's not part of the game.
And
any more fake news?
Manchester City fouled them more in the box.
Now you're talking. That's how you
didn't play.
Oh, yeah, so, they did.
All fundamental parts of football. you know, I can understand why he was a little bit confused, because Manchester City did have more of it.
5-2! Five goals didn't play.
It was a weird game, wasn't it?
First time Guardiola's conceded five goals.
Some very satisfying goals.
Oh,
all seem to come from one side of the pitch.
Yeah.
Or Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Jamie Vardy, like, he scored so many goals against Man City.
It is unbelievable.
He just thrives on the pain of others, and the more kind of, you know, high status that other is, just the better he gets. Rodri said, didn't he, after the game, football's not been fair to us. Games like this, where the opposition do nothing, you're a bit confused. It's like, you're a professional footballer, mate. Have you not heard of the counter?
Like, it's when, like, they do nothing.
Mad.
I mean, they did at least five things, didn't they?
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know, perhaps the mindset at Man City is that they are an elite level team. So when things go wrong, they literally can't understand it anymore. They're that drilled in their own sort of high standards.
I think that's absolutely spot on. And it does kind of lend itself to people saying ridiculous things like that. And Guardiola's, you know, her faux modesty at the end of games. No, I'm so happy. I'm so happy my house burned down.
Yeah. It means I can rebuild it, and I love rebuilding houses.
Yeah. Give me something to do, doesn't it? So, yeah, you do end up in situations like that, because they will be utterly raging behind closed doors. You know, like this morning, they'll be being punished for it. You know? But, yeah, the Leicester City, the Jamie Vardy, I christened him last year, maybe about this time last year, actually, as the patron saint of wind-up merchants.
Oh, 100%.
And I think that's just so true, because, as you say, he seems to thrive on other people's misery. But also, if we look at it from a football point of view, there was a stage maybe 2 years ago where Vardy would always top the sprinting tables, as it were. And last year, or rather the season before, so what, that's 18-19, he dropped back down a bit, but you still wouldn't necessarily see it from what he was doing. He was still scoring goals, he's still impacting games, and obviously he had a great season last year, and you look at it, and really he's just become more efficient in where he uses acceleration. I know we spoke about this a bit when we talked about Alexis Sanchez at Arsenal, I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago on this show, so like even little things like being able to use his body perfectly in the box, because you could say he's playing for a foul, but he's, you know, he's hitting all the right notes, he's getting himself in the right areas, he's using his arse a bit more.
Yes.
His second goal.
Yeah.
I mean,
he scored one for England against Germany, away in Germany, where he scored one sort of quite similar to that. This was a little flick, so he's got form for it.
I forget who it was on the commentary, but they said it was a Cruyff dink, and I think that's the best you'll get to describing it.
Yeah. Would that annoy Guardiola even more?
Of course.
Imagine that. Imagine that, like being better mates with someone's dad. That's basically what it is, isn't it?
Do you remember when Guardiola learned the word dink from Raheem Sterling?
Yeah. Dinky, dinky, dinky. Oh, yeah, that's what you shout in training, wasn't it?
That was very enjoyable, I mean, it's phenomenal. Look, I know Kane is a great centre forward, don't get me wrong, but come on, England, Vardy, like, do you know what I mean?
Vardy is the Wario to Kane's Mario.
Yes, nice. Massively. Vario, almost.
He even looks like a sharkier, eviler version of Harry Kane, doesn't he?
Yeah,
to me, more like a spiky face.
Well, he is, like, the next evolution of that nightmarish original version of the Sonic the Hedgehog animation. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Maybe it's just Lester's blue kit, but I think of him as Steptoe the Hedgehog.
Nice.
Or some sort of awful hybrid of those two things.
I do like that. He's now scored 105 league goals, which is one more than Didier Drogba in 41 fewer appearances.
And he eats an omelette and drinks Red Bull before a game and hates the gym.
Yeah. Did he still drink... what was he drinking?
Skittles.
Where he'd he'd like melt Skittles in vodka and then apparently just taste of Skittles and drink it.
In a Lucozade bottle.
I hope he doesn't do that anymore.
Well, but I mean,
if it works, then I hope he keeps doing what he's doing until he's like 40 and this never stops.
And he will play. He will go down the divisions. He's not going to just go, right, you know, I've had my time.
No, I think he might.
On a Sunday. Do you think?
Jamie, big bollocks. I reckon I can see that in his future.
I can. All right. No, I could see
him. Not going back to Fleetwood Town, Marcus.
Oh, no. I could see him playing Saturday morning football and just rinsing them all. Like at the age of 46.
Or just going down the park and rinsing the local kids.
Yeah, exactly. That definitely is in his wheelhouse, I would say. But yes, worrying times for Manchester City. They have signed Ruben Dias from Benfica for around $62 million, something like that. I mean, It feels like that's a plaster rather than...
It does, doesn't it? Because obviously, you know, a lot has been made. I would say not enough was made of how Aymeric Laporte was missing for a huge chunk of last season. Mm. And he's their best defender and would definitely have made a difference overall. But it doesn't feel like a personnel issue at this point, does it?
No, it
seems
doesn't.
Like their defensive structure is just a bit flimsy,
yeah,
and almost like it's an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dias is a good player, there's no doubt. Otamendi's gone the other way as well. I think Otamendi's days are probably
I think that's good business.
Well, they have been numbered, and now we know how. What the number
they're,
is.
They're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Dias, I mean, it's a good player. But as we say, it doesn't seem like a personnel thing. It seems, yeah, Guardiola, it's the first time that he's been at a club for this long, if that makes sense. If you see what I mean. It's the longest he's been at a club, depending on...
It's his first fifth season at a club, isn't it?
That's what I think I was getting confused at, but it is correct. Do you think... I mean, Bayern, Vish, they said, you know, they enjoyed his time there, they played some great stuff. Didn't win the Champions League under him, of course, but they still won a lot of trophies, as they tend to do. But I think they seemed quite exhausted by the time he left. He's a very intense person, the training drills and so on. Do you think Manchester City, there's a bit of inertia setting, or are we panicking too much?
Well, I think that's why... I know you're saying it's not necessarily a personnel issue, but it is in terms of getting people in who haven't heard the same thing over and over again and might not be, might not be weathered by it. Mm. So I suppose that is the reason for a turnover of players. That's why, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson did it. It's one of the criticisms, certainly one of the reasons that people say that Pochettino's time at Spurs was always going to end as it did, because he wasn't able to refresh as well. And it's a situation that I suppose Jurgen Klopp is going to come into to an extent. Maybe not, obviously not necessarily this year, but the year after, or maybe
a different
year after
man
that.
Though, and has had a different time at Liverpool.
Of course, and I think the personality thing's a key thing there, because I think Guardiola is one of those personalities, and this is obviously purely from what I've read about his personality rather than what I've extrapolated from TV.
Yeah,
but I think he's one of those personalities that, or it seems like he is, who is always going to clutch when things go badly, and if there is not a quick remedy, I think he goes into a cycle of being a bit more exasperated, and that manifests itself in kind of relatively unsavoury things behind closed doors, which is why you hear random stories of him falling out with players to an extent, not in any great way, but in a professional way.
Yep. Mm.
And that might actually just be the undoing of him, because I don't think he's the type of manager who's going to quit per se, but I think the board might look at him and think, you know, we appreciate that you are a bit of a footballing genius, but... Look now, mate. How many people are you going to ostracise within our club? We can't just buy another Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We can't just buy another Kevin De Bruyne. You need to change how you are. And if you're not going to change, maybe we need to make that change.
I think maybe the Champions League and the way he tinkers at really crucial times is a great example of how he's really trying to stay on the vanguard, and he's maybe getting in his own head about that a little bit. But going back to what you were sort of touching on there, I am personally sick to death of Raheem Sterling telling me to believe in myself and show everyone what I'm made of every time I'm watching a football match in that damn advert. So imagine how Raheem Sterling feels Pep Guardiola doing that in his ear every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, if that's a little snapshot of what it's like, then I think you'd probably go a bit mad, wouldn't you?
Raheem, if you're listening, Jim doesn't want to believe in himself.
I don't. No, you don't know me. I know my own limitations, Raheem.
You tell him. You tell him, Jim.
Guardiola's jumper. Oh, What's happening there?
I don't know. I think he subscribes to Thread. He gets told that this is something he should buy, and he buys it, and he wears it, and he's just an absolute state.
I prefer it to him wearing the club's merchandise.
Yeah.
I don't know. At least there's only so many variations that he can mess with there. He's in his own head, even sartorially.
Exactly. Yeah. Look at Brendy, tracksuit manager. All right, for the big occasions, gets the suit out. You know where you stand with him.
Normally, I would say the answer to everything isn't Brendan Rodgers,
but
to you.
I think at the moment,
this weekend, I think you're probably right,
indeed,
mate.
Indeed, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I need to ask you this question, Marcus.
Yeah.
Is it there yet?
I tell you what.
Are they on the verge?
Ladies and gentlemen.
How close to the verge are they?
Well, they've just knocked five away at Manchester City. You know, it's an intimidating place to go, especially when there's no fans.
They are top.
They're top of the league. At this early stage, they're already top, Jim.
Mm.
Look how easy it's been for them to get there.
Yeah, they're not on the verge, I suppose. They're on the precipice already.
Exactly. It's theirs. Hands, name on the trophy is all I'm saying. Brendan's got it. Right, gentlemen, let's move on to Spurs versus Newcastle. This game will be remembered for a decent Spurs performance, but Newcastle snatching a late point and nothing else. Other than it's extended the conversation, which will run about handballs and so on and so forth. Andy Carroll, of course, headed into Eric Dyer's arm. I mean, it wasn't even the first time Dyer accidentally handled the ball in the game. And then the Lascelles have one at one point.
It's so tedious, isn't it?
I mean, it's fair play to Steve Bruce, who said, you know, the whole thing is supposed to be clear and obvious. I think we've lost the plot totally today. Steve Bruce came out and was like, look, I'm delighted we've got a point, but this is ridiculous. Mm. Now, Roy Hodgson said, after Palace were beaten by Everton, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. He said, you know, if it's an accidental handball, then game, you know, carry on. And if it's a deliberate handball, then it should be a penalty.
Yeah, we actually said if it's a deliberate handball or the team gains an advantage, then it's a penalty. And I think that's absolutely right. I think that is the simplest, clearest way of dealing with it.
He wasn't complaining when he got that penalty at Old Trafford, though, was he?
He wasn't, no. Are you saying Roy Hodgson's a man of no integrity? Change your tune. Are you turning heel on us?
No, don't be ridiculous.
He's got to shut his noise, the old... Sorry.
I don't know, chaps. I mean, Steve Bruce, fair play to him for coming out and saying that. But as was explained and has been explained in the press and on TV and so on, that this is the Premier League getting in line with how FIFA want it done. We've seen the amount of penalties in La Liga, as I said on Match of the Day 2 last night. La Liga, they had 48 penalties. Serie A, 57 last year because these rules were implemented.
And all of those 57 penalties were actually from Ciro Immobile.
And he scored the lot.
All of them,
well, Ronaldo got a few. In the Premier League last season, we had 19 penalties, which shows you the difference. But they had this in Germany as well, and it's calmed down.
Yes, yeah. So it was implemented during the 2018 World Cup. Then Germany, being the sensible ones that they are, thought, well, this is going to be the way. Why don't we just take it on straight away? Mm-hmm. And so I think they had a big spike. And then last year, they only had 22. Mm. Or rather, the number 22 was extrapolated to a 38-game season, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then they found that people were just changing their behaviours. Or rather, that was the...
Well, we saw that from some of the defenders on the weekend.
Yes, yeah. You know, there is an argument to say that this is something that Premier League players are going to get used to and are going to just cope with, because if it's going to be in a major tournament, then I suppose that makes sense. That doesn't change the fact that it is a bullshit rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the important thing that needs to be said.
It is.
And I also think, one of the other things I think is that we always blame the referee in this situation, and especially when they go over to the monitor and they see that and think, and we think, God, can you not see it's accidental? Obviously, accidental isn't in the rules, and the referees are upholding the laws that it seems that they don't really have any say over. We've got to remember that the IFAB panel was made up of, I think, entirely former professional footballers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, the argument is always like, well, you know, referee need more footballers to become referees and to govern the laws. Well, this is what we've had, and we realise footballers are idiots.
Yeah. it's such a weird one. Although, did you see Graham Souness after the game was saying, he was like, get on board with it, because this means we're going to have more penalties, and it's actually going to create a lot more drama. It's going to be really exciting. It's like,
I'm going to keep him in money.
How does this fit into your anti-fun agenda?
He's devil's advocate, that's what he is.
Yeah, you think.
So
maybe.
When people are saying, yeah, but you know, is it that bad that player did that? And then Graham Souness will go, is there anybody else saying it? Right, I'll stick the boot in then. So when everyone else is saying, oh, this is nonsense, he's going, yeah, but just get on board with it, you losers.
Yeah, I suppose he is. But I think you just got to scale it back to, like, what is the supposed advantage there that Newcastle gained?
Yeah.
Like, Oh, sorry, that Spurs gained.
Yeah.
Like they just didn't. Well, quite, but Joel Ward as well. It's the same thing. I mean, you could argue in both cases that because of Joel Ward and Eric Dyer's supposed handballs that those teams gained a minuscule advantage in that the ball moved slightly in some way and it didn't lead to a goal. But you are having to split the tiniest of hairs to do that, and I just don't understand. I don't see what it's penalising that's actually so bad.
Yeah, but this is going to run and run. Like, we're going to have this all the time now.
Yeah.
Which is a great shame. I mean, the game itself, I mean, the ultimate smash and grab job from Newcastle United. They failed to have a shot on target until the very end. But, I mean, Spurs should have been away, but Mourinho said after the game, I mean, usual kind of Mourinho comments.
This was an all-time great from Jose. I think people have started to worry that he's been losing it a little bit in post-matches and stuff. He was absolutely brilliant. He was brilliant. One of the quotes, and he said this one twice, yep. And you know he comes up with this stuff on the spot as well. When he was asked about the penalty situation, he said, there are boxes in boxes and our box is a special box. He said that twice, like 3 or 4 minutes apart.
What did he mean? He was like, our box is now a 22-yard box.
I don't know. There are boxes in boxes and our box is a special box. I don't know what, yeah.
Well, how would you interpret that? That he hates referees and Spurs were robbed?
Definitely that.
Spurs aren't respected.
Our box is a special box makes sense because obviously they're a top team and if anyone's playing, if anyone's got the ball in there in the first place and obviously they've done well, I quite like that. There are boxes in boxes, I'm finding it harder to...
Yeah.
Extrapolate.
Do you remember you picked out once Graham Souness calling the 6-yard line?
Yes, the goalkeeper small box.
Yeah. Is he kind of going on from that? I don't know. Yeah.
Seven's a different film if it's just a box inside a box, isn't it?
Spoilers.
We don't know what's in it.
That's true.
Do you know Newcastle have more points than shots on target this season?
That's a great stat, that is.
That's amazing.
That's lovely stuff.
Steve Bruce showing his genius yet again.
I was going to say.
Things outside the boxes and boxes.
He's magnificent.
Would you say that's the best Spurs performance we've seen under Jose?
That's what Mourinho reckoned this season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's odd, isn't it, to think that one all home draw with Newcastle would be better than the gubbing they gave Southampton.
Yeah, that's true. All the you know, when they beat Manchester City at home last year, but this
season we're talking about.
Yeah, of course. But they looked brilliant. I thought, and you know, credit to Carl Darlow, he had to make 11 saves.
Oh, Darlow was fantastic,
and he was brilliant. Carl Darlow's an interesting one because when they signed him, I thought, right, there's your third keeper. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you sell from this point on. He's going to be your third keeper.
Is Steve Harper still second choice?
Pete actually
pointed out on WhatsApp, didn't he, that for all the derision aimed at Newcastle, they've always been pretty good with their keepers. Actually,
yeah, that's true.
It's hard to remember them having a proper sort of crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, that is a fair point. I mean, there were some great performances from goalkeepers on the weekend. You think of the big Yorkshire derby, Sheffield United and Leeds United, of course. But yes, Darlow was very good. I mean, Mourinho did say that this was Spurs' sort of best performance of the season, or words to that effect.
But they said still a lot of things.
Did you see before the game? He referred to himself as, he said he was a little magpie. See that?
Yeah,
that's quite nice, isn't it?
He used to be a little horse.
He did used to be. Well, Chelsea were a little horse, the club, but now he's saying himself he's a little magpie.
He was the little magpie at one point perched upon the little horse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. he's only one for sorrow, as they say.
But, like shiny things. Yeah. Well, he's in his trophy cabinet.
It was to do with
shits everywhere.
But it was to do with his friendship and working relationship with Sir Bobby Robson, and then he started saying, oh, it's a club I have great affection for, blah blah blah, and I thought, is he lining up his next move?
Yeah, he's heard about the takeover, maybe it's back on.
Yeah,
Mark Ashley rubbing his hands together.
Oh, that was amazing. That was amazing. Proper like heel behaviour from him, just enjoying that point.
His Premier League point, I don't come care to me,
we get it.
Come to daddy.
Yeah.
Vindicated. Bruce is a genius.
Yeah.
That's tax deductible, that.
Oh, blah, fireplace, there we go. Etc. etc. Marvellous. Put that point in a big mug. Keep it for later when the relegation battle enters. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break and then we'll talk about more penalty madness. See you in a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Box.
There we are. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Welcome back to the Boxing Ramble. Hang on a minute. We've got a Patreon competition winner. It's happened. As we mentioned on the preview show last week, we've been running a competition for our Patreon subscribers this weekend. Thank you so much to everyone who signed up. We can now reveal the winner, Adam Carter. Congratulations to you, Big Adam. Adam Carter, everybody. Round of applause for Big Ad. He's won himself a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One and a copy of FIFA 21 for a chance to win prizes every month and get access to a whole load of bonus content from everyone at the Football Ramble. Sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/footballramble. Lovely old job. Well done, Adam. Excellent. Right, on to Betway 4 to score. A little update there. Yes, of course, entry to Four to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game 1, West Brom versus Chelsea, Andy picked Kai Havertz. Of course, it was Callum Robinson, which knocked out all bar 150 Betway customers. A lot of people didn't have Callum Robinson. Game 2 was Leeds versus Sheffield United. Luke picked Patrick Bamford. Luke was correct! I think, is that Luke's first one of the season, maybe? He's off and running. But of course, you know, you need all four. You need all four. Game 3, Manchester City versus Leicester City. Vish picked Gabriel Jesus. That was never going to happen, was it, Vish?
He only pulled out the day before. I mean, he didn't play. But
you weren't to know.
You
weren't.
No, I wasn't.
How
to know,
could
yeah.
you know that? It was Riyad Mahrez with an absolute belter, of course, who
it
opened
really
the
was,
score.
Wasn't it?
Didn't even mention that because there's so much else to talk about. And then game 4, I picked Alexander Mitrovic in Fulham versus Aston Villa, which is tonight. 4 to score. We'll be back, of course, on the preview show again this Friday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some emails.
So we've got Leo Walsdale up first, and he says, good day, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to, wisely or stupidly, you'll decide, throw my hat into the ring to solve the current handball situation.
Here we go.
The problem, as I see it, is that a penalty is too harsh a punishment for something as innocuous as a handball, particularly many of the examples of handballs we've been seeing given in the penalty box so far this season. My proposal, to reduce the punishment of a handball in the box from a penalty to a free kick, unless the hand is stopping the ball going in the goal, a la Suarez versus Ghana, in which case a penalty would still be given. A free kick in the box would still present a dangerous situation from which the attacking team can take advantage but not provide a clear goal scoring opportunity as a punishment, particularly when many of the decisions being given are not clear goal scoring opportunities. And also, free kicks in the box are a lot of fun and we don't see enough of them. I look forward to your thoughts/derision. Thanks, Leo. See, I sort of In the situation we're in, if for whatever reason it's going to be insisted upon that a handball in the box, even if not deliberate, has to have some sort of punishment attached to it. I don't think this is a terrible workaround for that. I want to make very clear, I would prefer that there was no punishment attached to that situation. Mm. But if there's an insistence on that, I think this is a good halfway house.
Considering it's one of our emailers, I think it's not bad.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I was waiting to kind of jump on him and
beat him, pull sort his of hair, savage him.
Yeah, take his wallet. But no, that's quite... That's quite a good idea, I think. The thing about that is...
Man of honour, aren't you?
I know. Root around for money, check away the cards.
Yeah.
The thing about that is I think it's a bit more workable now, considering that referees are being encouraged and want to as well go towards the TV screen on the side and have a look at incidents again, and I suppose then you can decide whether it was deliberate or not.
Yeah. By the way, the mention there of you mentioned Luis Suarez. Do you see what happened?
The gold standard.
Do you see what happened on the weekend?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Comes on for what, 10 minutes or something like that for Atletico Madrid. Scores a couple. Gets an assist. It's like Barcelona. What have you done?
Yeah. What have you unleashed upon yourselves? Like this is coming back to possibly literally bite you.
He is going to destroy Barcelona when they play him. He's not only Luis Suarez. He's angry Luis Suarez
with Diego Costa.
Yeah,
yeah.
What did Costa say?
Diego Costa said, "It's great playing with Luis Suarez. One of us bites, the other one kicks."
Love that's it. Amazing. Mm. The combination of that anger that Barcelona have fueled in him and Diego Costa—that's probably put 3 years on his career.
It's like a hellish tag team, that.
It really is.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, very much looking forward to when Atletico play Barcelona. No doubt they'll cover this and more on the continent later in the week.
I have an email as well, by the way.
Oh, do you?
It comes from Alex White, and it starts with, "Hello, Ramblers. The chat on one of last week's shows was about a legendary goal which no video footage exists, and it reminded me of a fruitless online search for one such disallowed goal, scored by Manchester City's greatest ever player. It happened circa 2005 in the latter stages of a 2-0 defeat at the hands of West Brom. City won a free kick on the edge of the area, and the usual underwhelming suspects of this particular Man City area were stood over it, ready to disappoint us all with a lacklustre effort on goal. Instead, Richard Dunn stepped up, gave the ball away, a one-way ticket to the express service station to the Stanction, and absolutely smashed it into the top bins. Confusion quickly gave way to elation, which in turn gave way to disappointment when enemy of football Graham Pohl ordered for a retake because he hadn't yet blown his whistle. As far as I can remember, Dunn did not take the retake, nor did he take a free kick again for us in the rest of his City career. The moment must have been committed to tape because I vividly remember watching the game on TV, which begs the question, why has this glorious footage not been made readily available to the public? Any doubts I had about the accuracy of my memory with regard to this were put to bed when I came across a handful of other believers online. I also want a quest to uncover this important footage. Is there anyone out there who can help us?"
I don't remember this.
I do remember this. I'm a fellow believer, Alex, and I also have had a little cursory look around online for this over the years, generally, and I can't find it anywhere. Now, it was on Match of the Day. Of course it was. Every Premier League game ever is somewhere in the Match of the Day archive.
Yeah.
But I just cannot find it. So this was January 2005. Would either of you like to hazard a guess as to who was manager at the time?
Oh, I know who was manager at the time.
I think I do, just from Marcus's reaction.
Yeah, it was Keggy. Of course it was Keggy. Of course that happened. But it was honestly an absolute bullet of a free kick.
You know what happened? He probably thought to himself, "Hang on, let Richard take this one. Told you, disallowed."
But so, I mean, I recently put out a call to action for that incredible Carlos Bianchi Curb Your Enthusiasm video, and it was found. It still exists. It's on Vimeo, not on YouTube. Was it Daily Motion? It might be Daily Motion, but it's out there somewhere. So I can't find this Richard Dunn free kick on the internet.
You searched
Alex
for a
can't
good 5
either.
Minutes, didn't you?
I did, exactly. Yeah. So if anyone's got better internet skills and can maybe find this out of the Match of the Day archive, just help us. We all need to see it.
Have you texted Pete Donaldson, or you're worried what he might?
He's not going to help me with that.
Yeah, he'll find other things. Okay. Right. Thank you for your emails there, everybody. Do get them in. You know the address. Show@footballramble.com. gentlemen, off to Brighton. Manchester United beat Brighton 3-2. Yes, it was all about the end of the game with this one. Other than Brighton smashing the post a lot, which was quite incredible.
Five times?
Yes, I believe it's a record. Although, we've got to mention...
It's not on target, though, is it, if you strike the post?
This is it, yeah. So many people are saying that. It's not like it adds up to a goal.
Are you listening, Jules Breach? Do you get a goal for that?
I think people...
Satisfaction? Where's your joy coming from now?
People in lockdown have you know, we've been playing a lot of Roberto Baggio's magical kicks, haven't we? And if you haven't been, then get on that. But there are no points. There are no passion cups for posts in the real world, unlike in Roberto Baggio's magical kicks. But yeah, so it was a good performance from Brighton. It was poor from Manchester United. But, you know, it's a sign of a good side if they win when playing badly, isn't it, Vish?
Ole's at the wheel. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back, as a wise man once said.
Exactly. Late goals, Jim. It's a good sign.
Yeah, it is a good sign. Can we talk about Neil Mopay's penalty, though?
We can.
So cheeky. Yeah. So as I, you know, whenever anyone does that sort of thing against your team, you hate it, don't you? Your body language at the moment, Vish, suggests that you didn't enjoy it, perhaps as much as the rest of us.
Generally, he made an utter mug of De Gea.
He really did.
To the extent that I think De Gea would have been better served to stay on the floor instead of trying to scrabble back up and get it.
Yeah. He threw the ball at him, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Hilarious.
When Mopé did that, I thought, fucking hell, I think we've got... The Premier League has a new shithouse here and his name is Neil Mopé.
Injured... Burnt Leno, deliberately, obviously, but for a cheeky... There was an incident with Arsenal and Brighton last season where Mopé revealed himself to be a bit of a shit.
But then you have to... you've got to continue that to really take the crown off Jamie Vardy. And obviously Jamie rocks up the next day and claims it right back. But no, Brighton were unequivocally the better team. And Brighton were a team I cited when I went on my Ole rant last week about a team who are very organised and know how to play against specific teams, specifically teams above them as well. Mm-hmm. And they were brilliant against Manchester United. Yeah. And, you know, we've already talked about how frugal Newcastle are with shots on goal. United only had 3 shots on goal in that Brighton game and happened to score from all of them. Mm. And one of them was a penalty given after full time. So, you know, that goes to show how, I suppose, fortuitous we were. But ultimately, we also know that sometimes football is just about who's got the better players.
Yeah.
And United, luckily, with their impressive forward line, were able to have an impact. And the other thing I will say with regard to Solskjaer is that he is someone who does know how to encourage his players. And I think the most important thing beyond, I suppose, the backing of the fans is whether the players trust him. And players wouldn't play as... consistently as they do, especially so soon after that Solly March equaliser. You know, heads could have gone down. They could have thought, well, here we go again. But they pushed, they got into the opposition box. And, you know, of the handball penalties we're going to see this season, that was
a penalty.
An equivocally one, yeah.
Yeah.
We should say that. But yeah, you know, United are up and running. Obviously not very convincingly, but 3 points, they've got to take that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a penalty, Jim. And Bruno Fernandes was talking about penalties in quite odd fashion last week. Well, there he is, sticking one in the top corner. Fair play to him.
Yeah, he loves them, doesn't he? I think we're going to see a lot of those from him this season based on the way things are going. But I don't think we can talk about this game without talking about Marcus Rashford's goal, can we? You know, United having the quality that's going to see them through certain games like this that are a bit tricky. And Brighton are a good team as well, as they're showing. Mm-hmm. But that was something really, really special.
It was.
Yeah,
it's always nice to have a Marcus in there, but I think more specifically, it's always nice to have Marcus Rashford in there.
Yeah,
on the pitch and off the pitch.
Yes, yeah,
you know what I mean.
Making a difference from the left wing.
Yeah. Very good.
I don't want to kind of like be too. I mean, I suppose I've got plenty of reasons to be too downbeat about United, but one of the things that Brighton really exposed, specifically Solly March, actually, was that. United seem to have this tactic where all defending rests on Aaron Wan-Bissaka's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite a lot to ask for someone at right back. And I think it was one of the reasons he was caught out for the equaliser. You know, I saw some people saying that he should have been on March, but he was further in the box because there were so many United players there. Mm-hmm. And there were 2 United players behind him who weren't picking up that man. I think he's someone who does need a bit of help. And United are going to be caught out really badly going forward when, because it's a bit like, you know, ordering like a really unhealthy meal and then having a Diet Coke, you know. Yeah. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is like Diet Coke. He's not gonna be healthy. He's going to put your mind at ease, but it's not necessarily going to be something sustainable in that.
I think that's very disrespectful to Donny van der Beek, actually.
I'll have a giant Chicago pizza and just a tap water.
Yeah. Did you see when he said that the other week when he was pressed on transfers?
He
snapped at a journalist saying, I think you're saying that's actually really disrespectful to Donny van der Beek. He's a brilliant player and we brought him in. It's like, okay, ooh.
Yeah, because he said you've only brought in one player. I thought that was very disrespectful to the one player we had brought in.
Well, he was just being factually correct.
Yeah. In his head, he's going, I'm doing everything I can for you here, Ed. This is all I've got. You've got to help me out. Help me to help you.
Yeah. If Mike Ashley was rubbing his hands together after that, what was Ed Woodward rubbing?
Vince? Rubbing his face.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, he shouldn't be doing that.
It's true, yeah.
If indeed he was, which
he's
of course,
done a lot of stuff that he should
he
be
probably
doing.
Wasn't, yeah. West Brom knocked 3 past Chelsea. The problem for them is then Chelsea replied, scoring 3 goals of their own. What a game that was.
It really was.
The Hawthorns. I mean, you talk about Manchester United's defending. I mean, Chelsea thought, right, we'll get in a very experienced defender, one of the best centre-halves, you know, in the last sort of 5-10 years, you could argue. And then he goes and bloody does that, Jim!
It was almost like he thought he was playing futsal. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't the retirement kind of mode that you should be in at this point, Thiago. It was really doddery and faffy, wasn't it? It was everything...
Doddery is the word.
Yeah. But it's like everything you would expect of someone on Twitter going, well, he won't be used to the pace of the Premier League, you can't stroll around like a farmer's league. And that was absolutely the case in what happened. So like, come on.
In that moment, did that just write off Ligue 1 for you, Jim?
Oh, completely, yeah. Yeah. And the concept of France, the Brazilian national team... All of it. Just hit, lump it out. Get it out. Clear your lines.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that would have been a better decision.
Yeah, I mean, than the one he made, absolutely, or didn't make. Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, that's going to be a quite embarrassing wake-up call for Thiago Silva, isn't it? He's Thiago Silva. He will get up to speed very quickly.
Great regret is that, it's always a regret of mine that Barry Davis isn't still commentating. But you can
regret
imagine,
of yours?
Yeah.
So you're involved in that in some way you may have just let slip.
I feel that...
Ooh, hello.
I see what you mean, but I didn't protest. I think because, you know, but anyway, with Barry Davis at the helm, and it would be very much at the helm if he was commentating, to have him do the old Pat Bonner for Thiago Silva, bearing in mind the song, Thiago Silva, you know, it would work superbly.
It would have.
It would really would have done.
It would have.
I thought you were going for, where's Thiago Silva? And frankly, who cares?
It's an early kickoff here and Thiago Silva's still having breakfast.
Can we talk about the Kai Havertz handball and why that's apparently fine?
Okay.
When they definitely gained an advantage from that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, this is true.
You've moved on from Robinson though. Getting
sorry,
Robinson.
Yeah. Let's rewind it.
And he scored some goals. Well done to him.
Yeah. Good goal.
Pereira, what a player.
Oh, yeah.
Best, in that have little, you seen that a better pass flick, than that ever?
Beautiful, beautiful pass.
He's the new indulgent magician, isn't he?
Mm.
You know, like Payet used to be that guy. Someone who wasn't involved, you know, in the top half, so he was allowed to enjoy himself a bit more. Hatem Ben Arfa, I'm thinking, as well.
Aren't all magicians indulgent in a way?
Modern football making... I was trying to find a pithy way of saying this, but it was, I was going to say making mugs of magicians, but they're just... With modern football, they're trying to fashion them into more productive parts. You know, we don't really see any number 10s. Even James Rodriguez has got to go from, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, now to Everton. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, it's nice to have a bit of flair lower down as well.
I thought you meant magicians in general.
No, they're going out of fashion, aren't they?
I don't know.
They've ever been in fashion?
I think they're above fashion. As they often prove by their sartorial choices.
Yeah, maybe so.
Jim, you were going to say that.
Yeah, I think going back to the Havertz handball, like it's. I know that the rule is apparently because it's the goal wasn't scored immediately after it, wasn't it? But I don't.
Oh, well, Jim. This is where you get like.
It's madness.
It really is. But Mason Mount scored a nice one. Would the keeper.
Oh, that was a brilliant goal.
It was. Mm. Would the keeper be a touch disappointed?
Yeah, but I think you've got to give Mount credit because he's disguised that shot, hasn't he? That's coming at such a strange angle with such a whip on it that the goalkeeper's not ready for it. And there's your magician, Mason Mount.
There's your magician. If
he looks like a magician's assistant, actually, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. But that's the trick.
He looks he looks like a young street magician.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Dynamo. He's a new Dynamo.
Dynamo.
With more charisma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dynamo, the magician with no charisma. How has that worked?
Yeah, he's the only magician who's not, what did you say, self-indulgent or
flashy. Yeah,
he's
not allowed to flourish. Yeah, he's not allowed to flourish.
Yeah, if you're going to be a magician, don't act like you're in a hurry. People do want a bit of pomp with that job. Do you see what I mean? Not too much, but you can't just be like, right, there's your card there. And you sort of think, well, hang on, you didn't even put it in an envelope.
Yeah, give me a degree of pomp.
Yeah, exactly, for crying out loud. Hudson-Odoi scored a lovely one.
Yeah. Well, you know, this, I don't want to sound a bit, you know, British football for British players, but I generally thought that, you know, when you see the way that Lampard persisted with those players, I've spoken flippantly about this in the past, about how, you know, it's easy to do what he did last year because of the, the issue or the ways that Chelsea were hamstrung, and I wondered, you know, how much would he actually push through and how much does he really believe in that young core of players. But Tammy Abraham played the whole game and ended up scoring the equaliser. He obviously trusts Mason Mount a lot, and Callum Hudson, he trusted Callum Hudson-Odoi to change the game for him. And those three in particular are going to have to, you know, they've been a bit lucky as individuals in that obviously Ziyech's coming back from injury. Havertz is having a bit of time to readjust. Pulisic is obviously out injured.
Werner's having a bit of time.
Yeah, Werner's having a bit of time as well. And they have to take their opportunities whenever they get them. And they are. And it was, you know, Hudson-Odoi, that was a great little finish as well. Tammy Abraham, as he did, you know, in the League Cup, combining really well with Havertz and earning this opportunity to start for Chelsea. I thought, yeah, it was great to see. And, you know, I know that people were going wild on Twitter with Luke Moore's Tim Sherwood with A-levels. But, but you know, I was as happy as you can be to see opposition players do well, I think.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's hard to feel like that about Chelsea, isn't it? But I just got to leave that there.
But, not if you're a Chelsea fan.
Well, no, obviously, yeah. But, you know, who cares what they think? No, joking aside.
What's your Twitter?
It is really, as you say, it's really heartening to see them still getting in the team. And actually, I think
Reece James as well.
Yeah, Reece James. He was at fault, but he's been given a chance and he's by and large taken it. But I think with this season, actually, because it's so kind of mushed together, for want of a better term, those players are going to be needed, aren't they? Even if Werner and Havertz get up to speed and Ziyech and Pulisic come back and they're on top form, he's going to have to rotate a lot. And I've said it on here before, but I'm happy to see Mount and Havertz in the same team as well, because he trusts Mason Mount to move him a little bit further back and give him that responsibility. And I think actually that's just going to benefit him as a player long term, because he's got a bit of flexibility through the middle. And yeah, I think it's exciting times for Chelsea, even if it hasn't gone immediately to plan. This would be a really annoying result, but like the way they brought it back is fantastic.
Do you think it is exciting rather than sort of concerning about, you know, defensive fragilities and so on and so forth?
I just can't see this lasting. I think Chelsea are going to be better than we've seen this season, and it's always hard to integrate that many new signings, isn't it? Especially when you're in this fairly unique situation for Chelsea, where last season they bedded in a lot of academy players, and you know that takes more than a season. You know, they're players that are still learning, still developing, so they've now got to adjust to the new normal, I suppose. And I just think I can't see them, like, you know, I can't see there being an equivalent of them going 3-0 down to West Brom in the first half again this season.
Fair enough. Speaking of the new normal, did you hear what happened to Oxford United?
Yeah.
On the weekend, yeah. Well, if you haven't heard this, ladies and gentlemen, as a part of course, the COVID precaution, you know, there's a lot of sanitising and sort of cleaning and so on that has to be done. We're all familiar with that, of course. On their bus, the team bus, when the doors shut, once everyone's on the bus, there's an alcohol-based spray which is used, obviously, to help with the virus and so on. This alcohol-based spray got into this little pipe, this little tube, which the driver has to blow in to test for drink driving, standard procedure. But of course, it's an alcohol spray, and it set it off. So the bus couldn't move for 6 hours. They were stuck on the bus because they're in there. They've been sprayed. And so the players and staff had to arrive in cars and taxis from the hotel to the game. I mean,
so the bus itself failed the breathalyzer.
That's basically it, yeah.
And also, it's just locked. Did like clamps appear on it? Just sort of shutter the wheels at this point?
I have no idea what's happened. I love Carl Robinson, Oxford United's coach, said of the incident. I mean, I love how he talks in football cliches. It's kind of like you've just whatever the situation, you talk about it as if it's the 90 minutes. We know things aren't going in our favour at the moment. But it won't affect our attitude. And then he goes on to say, that's the beauty of life. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Well, they did win 4-1, didn't they?
They did, but I mean, I'm all for quoting. Is it Billy Ocean?
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know, I think it should happen more often. But
you're quoting a lot of his other songs sometimes, aren't you?
I do.
For example.
So
I do love that, though. But like, you know, on the day of his daughter's wedding, it's like, oh yeah, she'd be a lovely little daughter. top daughter.
Yeah, like when Ray Parler gave me marriage advice on the radio once.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did, saying...
Is that why you keep doing Jaeger bombs?
Yeah. He actually started going, well, you know, it's important to be a team. You know, bearing in mind he went through a very messy divorce. Yeah, it was very unfair of Alan Brazil to do that to Ray. And then when that finished,
he didn't divorce him, did he?
I don't think so.
God, that was I didn't see that.
No.
I heard two versions of that.
And then at the end of that that sort of chat, which Ray Parler kind of coughed and spluttered his way through, Alan Brazil looked at me and went, in all seriousness, Marcus, separate bank accounts.
Oh dear.
For those who came to our live shows, you will remember that.
Oh God.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wonderful way to end the show for those of us who are married and not married, of course, as well. So do have a lovely Monday afternoon and evening. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke and Pete will be there, hopefully talking about an Alexander Mitrovic hat-trick against Aston Villa. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, V.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.